Lake Effect continues on Milwaukee Public Radio now. I'm Mitch Tyke.
And I'm Bonnie North. We're talking about segregation and its impact in the Milwaukee area this week in our latest Project Milwaukee series. Earlier today on Morning Edition, WUWM's LaToya Dennis reported on how issues with housing costs and conditions go hand in hand with segregation here.
It's also no coincidence that the issue of evictions disproportionately affects certain neighborhoods in Milwaukee. Writer and researcher Matthew Desmond chronicled the issue of eviction and its impact in Milwaukee last year in the landmark book, Evicted.
In the wake of that book, an effort is now underway here to help level the playing field when it comes to eviction proceedings. The Eviction Defense Project is a court-based free program for people facing eviction. It's organized under the auspices of Legal Action of Wisconsin.
Rafael Ramos is an attorney with Legal Action. He joins us in the studio, along with attorney Don Caldert, who directs pro bono efforts at Quarles and Brady, and Milwaukee County Circuit Judge Ellen Brostrom. Welcome to all three of you.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
That's a pleasure.
So walk us through how this collaborative effort came about. I know a lot of interest was paid to Matthew Desmond's book. Can you connect the dots for us?
Certainly. So the project, the Eviction Defense Project, has been in the works for actually a couple of years now, a little before Professor Desmond's book came out. It was kind of a joint collaboration between Legal Action of Wisconsin, the courthouse, Quarles and Brady, the Milwaukee Justice Center, where we're located. And it really came out of just people's realization that there is this gap in terms of legal service and assistance that's being provided to low-income tenants for eviction. I know Don and Quarles were involved in some of the initial conversations, but it's been in the works for a while. And with Professor Desmond's book coming out, it really gave us a lot of momentum to really get things going to get the project off the ground.
And did you more or less agree with his conclusion that eviction is kind of maybe underrepresented social issue in a place like Milwaukee?
Yes. You see the lack of housing or housing instability, how it affects educational outcomes, healthcare outcomes, employment outcomes, and the legal issues that arise from that. It's almost like peeling an onion. You start with the housing issue, but then you find out, well, as a result of the housing issue, now there's an employment issue, and it just goes on and on. And it's a huge need in our community.
So in a way, it's like this is about eviction, but this isn't just about eviction.
In a way, yeah. I mean, it definitely gets to a larger sort of issue in terms of the availability of civil legal aid for people in general, particularly low-income individuals. Legal Action has right now one dedicated housing attorney, and I believe Legal Aid has three or so. And we're the biggest nonprofit legal assistance providers in the city. So for people who are low income, who don't have resources, it's tough to find legal aid.
And some of the statistics in Matthew Desmond's book that really struck me was that only one out of four families that live in poverty actually get housing assistance. Then when you couple that with 80% or more that qualify for free civil legal aid assistance and they're unable to access it, the problems that you have. And that, quite frankly, is really why Quarles and Brady jumped into this project from the very beginning.
What about the court system? I mean, the courts are this unbiased arbiter of justice. Why is this an important piece of work for the courts themselves?
Well, lawyers in our justice system, be it civil or criminal, are always a service to the court. It is an adversarial system by design, and it's designed to seek out the truth and to do justice according to the laws that were enacted by the legislature. In a matter like an eviction proceeding with an unrepresented litigant, that person may have a very difficult time organizing their thoughts and the relevant information in a way that the court can really understand and then act upon. Lawyers are officers of the court, so we are always, as judges, we are always happy to see them in the courtroom. It's our belief from a sort of processing perspective that the process will be more streamlined and more efficient for all of the litigants involved in eviction proceedings. But just fundamentally, lawyers are officers of the court, and they are of great service to the court's processes.
And without naming names or using specific examples, it seems like a likely scenario that there would have been cases, possibly many of them, that came before your court that might have ended quite differently if the people facing eviction had been represented in a different way.
I mean, theoretically, one would assume that's true, right? Because by definition, if you have unsophisticated individuals without representation on one side, and on the other side, either individuals with representation or perhaps more sophisticated repeat players in the eviction process, you may not have had the same outcome. Now, of course, you don't have a control group,
right.
But again, the lawyers are always such a service to the court in helping the court figure out truth from fiction and getting through the clutter of people's lives to the things that actually make a difference from a legal perspective.
So what are the specific services you're able to offer through the Eviction Defense Projects?
So the project right now has two main components of what we're doing. The first is offering brief service, and the second is what we're calling a lawyer for a day representation. So for the brief service component, we have an actual space in the courthouse. Right now we're located in the Milwaukee Justice Center in room G9. And there we have attorneys available to assist clients by providing advice about their case. We can help them draft responsive pleadings, responsive documents for the court. And when the lawyer deems appropriate, and this is often the case, our attorneys can help try to negotiate with the landlord or the landlord's counsel to try to work out some sort of mutually agreeable settlement before the case needs to proceed. Most of our clients are there for same-day representation, so they're there on the day of their initial hearing, initial appearance. So what that means is that they really are coming to us right when they need a lawyer. And the court's been great about working with us to make sure that we're able to work with them on that same day. For clients who have a hearing in the future, often before Judge Brostrom, for clients who have that contested hearing, we have the lawyer for the day component of the project. And through that, we're able to use our volunteer attorneys to actually provide in-court representation and in-court advocacy for our clients at hearing. And that's a particularly unique part of this program.
And actually, I'd just like to chime in on that, and then I bet Dawn would as well. You know, it's a great opportunity for lawyers to fulfill their pro bono obligations. Having a law license is a privilege, and I think it brings with it a responsibility to give back to the community. I think it's also an opportunity to bridge dividing lines that might exist in our community. Almost by definition, the people that the volunteer lawyers from a white stocking law firm like Quarles and Brady are going to be representing, they're going to be indigent. Otherwise, they would not be eligible for the services of this project. So from a humanitarian standpoint, from a pro bono obligation standpoint, there are really a lot of benefits that I think are that flow from this above and beyond just the service provided to the individual clients.
Yeah, I would agree with all of that, because if not lawyers, who, right? We're uniquely positioned to help people going through that adversarial process. And I would also add that for the attorneys in our firm, you know, not only is it doing good, but they're developing their skills. It's an opportunity for newer associates or litigators to get into court, to be in front of a judge, and to help somebody that really needs it most. And we hear from the volunteers how much they really enjoy doing that work, because in a large law firm like ours, it's not often that you see the immediate effect of what your representation provides. And people leave there and they feel better. They feel like they got a fair shake. They feel like the system is working. They may not necessarily agree with the outcome, but
I would imagine that as a lawyer, most of the time when you're preparing to represent somebody in a legal proceeding, there is a little or a lot more lead time between the time you meet with a client and the time that you actually go before a judge. It has to be difficult, challenging work to, you know, essentially meet somebody and represent them, you know, within, I don't know, a few minutes.
Well, for the lawyer for a day, we get those cases in advance, sometimes 2 to 3 weeks before the actual hearing in front of the judge. So the attorneys are able to meet with the clients, talk to witnesses, gather the facts so that they can present the best case on behalf of the client. In the brief legal advice component of the project, yes, it can be challenging. You have somebody that's sitting right across the table from you. You don't have hours, days, weeks to prepare a brief. But the area of law is narrow, and I think the more that we do this project and the longer the project's running, the attorneys will start to be faster and quicker at providing that representation.
So how does the demand for these services compare to your capacity to help?
So the demand right now is tremendous. If you look at the numbers, depending on where you look, it's between 12,000 to 16,000 eviction filings per year. We have about 50 volunteer attorneys at this point on our roster. We're still hoping to grow that number. But we have about 50, and the project's active one day per week, and we've just recently expanded to a second day. So right now we're seeing between 7 to 10 clients per week, and realistically there are about 40 evictions per day. So you can see the percentage that we're hitting, if we get up to 5 days a week, for example, would be about a quarter of all evictions that are being processed. And, to a degree—
It's a lot of people still falling through the cracks.
Exactly. I mean, to a degree there's only so much we can do, because to address them all, we would need a stable of 200, 300 volunteers. But we're doing the best with what we have, and we're thankful for all the volunteers we do have, because, like you alluded to, it's a difficult position they're put in. But we're able to address that many, and hopefully by doing this work, we are able to encourage housing stability, which will hopefully minimize future evictions by allowing people to stabilize their housing situation so they don't have this sort of issue in the future.
Well, right. So, obviously, it's one thing to help someone stave off immediate eviction, but does the program have the ability to coordinate with other services, not only to intervene in the eviction process, but assist people with the situations that put them in danger of eviction in the first place?
Absolutely, yeah. So we are fortunate in that we have a lot of community partners. Two of the other bigger partners that we're working with are Legal Aid Society, which provides legal assistance like legal action, a bit different but similar. And another one is Community Advocates, and they work on a lot of these sort of non-legal sorts of assistance that they can provide. So whenever possible, we try to direct our clients to those resources so that they can get the long-term assistance that would help them.
The reality is, though, if you look at the points made in Matthew Desmond's book, many of these individuals are spending 75 to 85% of their monthly income on rent, and that is just really not a sustainable model. So as long as they remain in that economic bracket, they're always going to be vulnerable.
Well, and so at the end of the day, this is all good work, but there are some bigger systemic issues that have to be tackled.
Indeed.
As well.
Indeed, and that's something that is, obviously beyond the ken of this project.
Certainly, and I think you can see that. When we've met with clients, you'll see that a lot of them are living on a knife's edge in terms of whether they can make rent or not. And one sick day can mean that they miss rent. They're behind.
Yeah, they're making hard choices between whether they pay for heat that month or they pay their rent, or, if their car breaks down and that's their way to get to work. And these are difficult choices that they're making every single day.
The one thing we also know, though, from Desmond's book is that we thought that poverty and joblessness drove evictions, but in fact what he found was that evictions actually drive a lot of those other outcomes. So one eviction that rightfully was thwarted through the representation of the Eviction Defense Project is just that much more stability so that the job isn't lost or whatever other domino might tumble.
It has to be hard for each of you to have these kind of daily interactions with people, knowing that even if the result of your interaction with them in that day is positive, that they still are on that knife's edge, as you describe.
Yeah, it is difficult. It is challenging, particularly when you run into situations where you have a client who doesn't necessarily have a legal defense, and it is just the way it is. They weren't able to pay rent on time.
I think Dawn alluded to that they may not always like the outcome. And the reality is, it's my job in the end to apply the law as the law exists. But we do know from evidence-based practices on the criminal justice side that perceptions of procedural due process are very important. So even if they don't like the outcome, if they believe that they were heard, if they believed that they were represented, that it wasn't a sham proceeding, there's a lot of benefit to that that's probably, you know, more intangible but is nonetheless still very important.
And I suspect as the project goes along, I mean, right now there is a high number of default judgments. And my work with the community...
And explain a default judgment.
So the tenant doesn't show up. So the landlord's there, the landlord presents their case, and they get the judgment. And I suspect, in, you know, my work in the community has shown that as word of this work spreads through communities that help is available, one of my hopes is that we see that number go down. And that more of the tenants will participate in the process and come to court and present their case.
And I think that's particularly valuable for clients of the Eviction Defense Project, because one of the things we've seen is that a lot of clients will come in and tell us, oh, I don't have a defense. This is just the way it is. And then we'll talk to them and we'll find out that things weren't handled properly. They were evicted either in some sort of retaliatory fashion or improperly, simple procedures that would notify them of upcoming court dates weren't followed. So I think that more people that learn about the project, they'll be able to get legal assistance to really provide some aid.
Because each time they get evicted, they get into more substandard housing that costs more money. So where we can prevent these evictions from being on their court record and reach a settlement, it will have an impact on their future housing stability.
Well, thank you to all three of you for your work and for sharing it with us.
Thank you for airing the program.
And thank you for having us.
Ellen Brostrom is a Milwaukee County Circuit Court judge. Don Caldart is an attorney with Quarles & Brady. And Rafael Ramos is an attorney with Legal Action of Wisconsin, which operates the Eviction Defense Project. You can read more about it from a link at wuwm.com.